G'day and welcome to the Oceanic Gaming Radio Podcast. How you doing? My name's Capo, El Capitano. Thank you for joining us. Alongside me is my dear, wonderful friend, Grizzly Gaming 86. Mate, how art thou?
Hello, Capo. How are you, mate? I'm really well. I'm on the old two-day hangover today, Cap. Going strong, going steady for number three. Yep.
So you still got at least two more days of hangover.
At least.
At our age, that's basically, you know, what you get yourself into when you drink any alcohol.
Now, Cap, tell me, how many episodes have we done? What episode number is this?
This is number eight, I believe.
Whoa. Now, time's gone quick, huh?
Time flies when you're having fun. So, Grizz, enough about the podcast.
What about this
hangover you've got?
All right. So, Cap, I need to tell you the whole story because it's quite interesting. I'll try to keep it shorter. But as you know, I'm a drummer in a band, an Australian rock cover band. You can find us on Facebook, The Tonesmiths, if you want to go check us out on there. But we booked a gig with one of the biggest charity organizations in Western Australia. I'm not gonna tell you who they are because I will probably dox them. But for this show, and it's one of the biggest shows that we've ever kind of like higher profile shows we've had to do.
Very cool.
Two or three days before we're supposed to drive out there, the lead singer gets COVID.
Oh shit! Of this band.
Yeah, of my band. Yeah, Jeff had. Jeff's got COVID. Yeah.
Oh fuck! Shit! Is he okay? How's he going?
He's fine, man. Like, actually, he did say it was kicking his ass a fair bit. So, his daughter had it first. She was out on the town, and then it's kind of filtered through his family. So,
that'll do it.
Poor bloke. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but if you do, Jeff, love you, mate.
Hope you rest up, mate. Get well soon.
I think he's about 6 days in. Anyway, so we contacted the organization. We're like, well, would you like us to proceed with the gig? Or, you know, we are our lead singer down, and she kind of said, yeah, 100% go ahead. So what usually happens is usually Jeff's the lead singer and then my brother Mikey does the harmony vocals. And then if there's a song that requires a third part, then I would do the third part harmonies or a bit of backing vocals. Well, now Mikey's been put into the lead singer role, so which means I came into the harmony role. So more singing and a lot more fun. But, man, we actually managed to
nail it.
On a real good show. Yeah, we're very happy and... We've been booked back at the venue. They wanted us to come back for New Year's Eve, man. The venue was amazing, dude. So, like, this place is like just this – it's just like a pub in the middle of nowhere. Lots of locals coming around. Like, literally 15 Ks from any – there's nothing else around. So, just a beautiful little venue.
And they want you to come back in New Year's Eve.
Come back on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. They loved you so much, they said, you know what, you can come back in 10 months.
Yeah. Well, come on, mate. New Year's Eve is like the best gig of the year.
I've been a dickhead. I'm sure they fucking loved you, mate. You guys are fucking awesome.
You know who I should have called up to do the lead singer role, Cap? I should have got you in there, mate.
No, I actually can't sing at the moment, dude. So so basically I've been having this issue with my throat. And it's kind of like an uncomfortable feeling on the right-hand side. Anyways, haven't told too many people about it because I was a bit worried about it and I was like, fuck, you know what kind of happens when you start having these thoughts? You're like, fuck, it's fucking terminal. That's it. I'm done for. You know, it's been 30 years. Fucking see you later. Anyways, so I went to see an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And they I thought it'd just be like a consultation, like, oh, yeah, look, let's have a look in your mouth. Okay, yeah, no worries. Anyway, she basically 2 seconds into the appointment, she's like, all right, let's get the scope out and shove this down your nose. And I was just like, fucking Jesus Christ. So basically sprayed this shit in my nose.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to kind of smell it down your windpipe, I guess. And then it numbs everything. And then they push this big scope down my nose, had a bit of a look, and my vocal cords are inflamed.
Wow.
Show signs of trauma from heartburn and shit. And that's what's causing the issue at
is
the moment.
Is that right? Like reflux and stuff, is it? Or?
Yeah. And likely brought up by me starting to sing again after not having done so for so long.
Ooh,
interestingly.
Geez.
So I can't sing for like another month and a half until
The podcast isn't cooking you, is it, by doing a heap of talking?
No, he's talking's all right, but singing's like particularly fucking bad. A lot of vocalists take antacids because it stirs up all your stuff, I guess. And yeah, it does bits and pieces. But yeah, so anyways, even if you wanted me to, I couldn't.
Look, I didn't get to the important part, Cap. I fucking
yeah. So keep going. Sorry to interject.
We just drank a heap of tequila, mate. That's what happened. And maybe that's what your throat needs. A couple of tequilas, mate. A couple of tequila.
I reckon that's the last fucking thing I need. But carry on. Sorry.
No, mate. I haven't got anything else to say. It was just a really good gig. I had a good weekend away, but being mid-30s, it does knock me around a little bit, mate, with the old drinkies. So I'm kind of.
So how many tequila shots do you reckon you had?
Well, I saw these two blokes I haven't seen for a long time, and they ordered 6 in one go.
How many? 3 of yous?
There was 3 of us. It was 2 back to back, and we would have done another couple of them. It was just silly, mate. Just silly. But you know, like,
well, it'd be fun, mate.
Yeah. Well, I've been off the booze for 2 months now. This was my first give it a nudge.
Oh trial. Shit! Really?
Yeah. Yep.
And you definitely gave it a nudge. Fuck.
Gave it a nudge, and I sleptwalked that night. So pretty clear indication that it's part of the issue, mate. Yeah.
There seems to be a correlation with air observing here.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Shit, a brick, mate. Well, I didn't really do much over my weekend, mate. So I haven't really got anything fun to report apart from things that I'll probably talk about on the podcast regarding Elden Ring. It's just probably the best game that's ever existed. And I've decided that we're going to rename this the Elden Pod. Because that's just what we're going to be talking about.
Just on that, Cap, the first podcast I ever listened to, probably about 10 years ago now, long time ago, was a Diablo 2 podcast, and I listened to it religiously, and that's all it was about. They used to get guests in about the different classes and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it, mate. Elden Boys.
Oh, dude, there is a market for any enthusiast podcast. I mean, dude, I listened to, when I was playing Destiny 2 a lot, I was listening to a couple of Destiny 2 podcasts, one in particular that's it's escaping my brain. It's an Aussie one. It's got Mylan Games and Log Power Slave on it. Those guys are fucking legends.
If I can interject, it's Destiny Down Under, I believe.
Destiny Down Under. That's the one I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Ripper Destiny podcast. If you're looking for something to like listen to, Destiny related, please go and check those guys out.
Mikey keeps poking me to talk about Destiny on this.
Well, there you go.
Dude, you can talk about the world firsts and like the things and stuff.
Like, I haven't even seen anything about that.
Apparently that happened eventually.
Yeah, we'll talk about the world firsts in about a month's time when it's well and truly done.
We'll do some Destiny content.
As is our way. But how's it going with this? And World of Warcraft podcasts, dude. I listen to shitloads of those. I still listen to some of those just to see what's sort of going on.
Dude, I reckon the Elden Ring podcast where you talk about the lore and stuff. Maybe this is a side project, Cap.
Nice. Absolutely. That could be fucking cool. Absolutely. But the thing is, dude, I tell you what, the Dark Souls lore side of things is so well done by so many other people. I feel like even setting foot in there is like, you
what's
know,
his name? Vardy, whatever his name is.
Vardy Vidya. Ashen Hollow is another really good one as well. There's a bunch of like lore content creators, and especially like more grassrootsy ones that are kind of like fairly small, and they just like focus on one little topic, or you know, they go and find this little thing in the world, and they just focus really hard on this like one little texture that they found on this thing, and they're like, look at this, it kind of looks like a it's someone's leg, and when you turn it upside down, it looks like it could fit onto this person's head. And then, you know, that's why that's person's son, and that's how we know this. anyways, that's the world of lore. But Grizzo, let's fucking get stuck into it, mate. First things first.
Video games. Yep.
The Ukraine is still under siege by Russia. Hopefully, that can sort of be sorted out ASAP. I know it's horrific what is going on over there. But in response to the war on Ukraine, Nintendo has delayed Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. So they just came ahead and said, in light of recent world events, obviously citing the Ukraine war. We have made the decision to delay Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp, which was originally scheduled to release on Nintendo Switch on April 8th. Please stay tuned for updates on a new release date.
Do you want to hear something really interesting, Kat?
Yeah, go. Yeah, tell me.
I don't know whether you came across this in your study, but the original Advance War games were delayed because of the September 11 attacks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So very in certain countries. So the game was released in Europe, I believe, and then it was delayed in Japan and a few other countries because of September 11.
I wasn't aware of that, actually. That's quite interesting. Well, yeah, so it's a double whammy for these guys, which is interesting. But, I mean, some people are sort of saying this is a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction and maybe a little bit overkill kind of thing to kind of, you know, do this. But I think one thing is, though, Grizzo, is that the devs have said that they took a lot of inspiration from Russia and stuff like that with their military. And so I think when you consider what is actually like what this game is about, if you're not aware of what Advance Wars is, guys, essentially it's like a tactical real-time strategy game where two kind of regions are fighting against one another for control. You know, and it's a military kind of game. It's a little bit sort of cutesy artsy sort of, you know, sort of low graphics, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was originally developed for the Game Boy Advance, wasn't it, Cap, by Nintendo back in the day.
So the whole idea is like you kind of control your units on a board, like kind of thing, and then you drive them into other units and then they have a little tactical battle on the screen. But I mean, it's tanks and it's helicopters and people with RPGs and stuff. So obviously the timing is difficult, and I think this is a really good move by Nintendo to kind of try and be sensitive on
absolutely
the topic,
I honestly do think it would have been a bit of PR suicide to release something like this
absolutely
at the moment, for sure.
And I think if you're really worried about your little war game releasing and you're getting a bit sad about it, I think you might need to have a bit of a look at what's happening on the news and just fucking call your jets, Tiger. Pull your fucking socks out. Fuck your life out.
So, Cap, Nintendo has also suspended the eShop in Russia too as part of,
right?
Not part of this thing, but kind of Nintendo related. Yeah. So
trickles down. Yeah. We did speak about it last week. A lot of different companies have suspended sales or have kind of ejected from the market in Russia, and only more and more are being added to the list per day. So look, I think little things like this are just really important to you know, write the narrative that no one's okay with what's going on over there, and so it shall be. Moving along, Grizzo, State of Play. You ever heard of PlayStation? The console PlayStation, heard of that?
Sony Interactive.
Sony Interactive PlayStation.
So what is State of Play, Cap? What is it? Is it like give me
it's kind of like I think they might host it twice, or I think it's mostly once a year. It's basically like a Sony branded and offered broadcast. They share news about titles coming to the sort of PlayStation ecosystem. Generally in the past it's been a little bit more indie driven. They don't normally tend to sort of announce, you know, the big kind of PlayStation IPs like God of Wars and stuff like that, from memory, I'm pretty sure. And it seems like the latest State of Play has kind of followed along suit similarly. But I figured we'd just go through all the different things one by one, Grizzo.
Absolutely, mate. There's a couple on here that have excited me a lot. So I'm excited, mate. Yeah.
Well, look, the first one is there's a new IP coming out called Exo Primal, which is essentially, like mech robots fighting dinosaurs, by the looks of things. It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, when people go on about like pirates versus ninjas, this is like the next fucking stage. It's dinosaurs versus mech suits.
Yeah. What was that silly movie that had Megalodon versus something? There was some kind of...
Oh, there's plenty of those, though, isn't there? It's just like Megalodon versus giant duck or just something random that they found.
Now, Cap, this is Capcom. IP from
this Capcom. Is by Capcom. It actually looks quite interesting. I'm interested to see what I'm looking at an image here. It's just like two mechs with big like Reinhardt shields from Overwatch 2, and they just have these like raptors running at them, and they're just protecting against the raptors.
What is it? Is it like a horde game or something?
I'm not too sure. It's definitely like a kind of I think you can team up and. By the looks of things,
here we go, Captain. Yeah. This survival between the brave exo-fighters of the near future and ferocious creatures from the distant past who threaten to drive humanity towards extinction.
The future and the past come together. Okay, very interesting. Well, there you go. Go and check out some screenshots because it looks pretty freaking wild. Like it's got a little bit of a Warframe kind of feel to some of the mech suits. Serious.
Yeah,
I'm freaking telling Pav. I'll post it in the Twitch chat for those that are listening live. But they kind of got like a bit of a Warframe look to a lot of the mechs, which they look tight, dude. They don't look lame. They look fucking cool.
Yeah.
If you look real close, you'll see there's like a floating mech in the background. It looks like it's got cool blue wings. Pretty rad.
The one on the left looks like a sniper one. He's definitely holding a sniper rifle. Surely.
Yeah, so maybe it's class based. It looks like it's team based gameplay. Unique suits which have unique abilities and weapons that represent it. So specializations. So it's probably maybe it's like a horde mode kind of thing. Maybe like a Left 4 Dead kind of esque. Speculation here, but like a kind of group battle kind of system that you go and fight hordes of things, which would make sense. And I can see one of the screenshots just has like this big black orb in a city and then just all these dinosaurs falling out of the orb. And there are shitloads of dinosaurs falling out of it, like shitloads.
Sounds like a game full of lore, Cap.
The lore of the dinosaur. Dino lore. There you go. Get that in you. All right, moving along, Grizzo. New Ghostwire Tokyo trailer. Now, Grizz, have you watched much about Ghostwire?
No, nothing about it.
Right. No, okay, so it looks like it's. I don't know too much about the storyline, but it's set in Tokyo. It's a first-person, action-adventure kind of game. You basically, you kind of have your hands on screen and you're doing, like, hexes and sorcery kind of stuff. But it's kind of in, like, the Japanese, lore kind of... mythology, sorry. So you're doing kind of cool like hexes and curses and shit like that, and you're fighting these creatures from Japanese mythology that are like ghosts and shit like that that are obviously kind of floating around in Tokyo. But some of the stuff that you do is really freaking cool. It's kind of like a shooter, but like you shoot sorcery stuff and you're doing these cool things with your hands and freaking...
I really like this supernatural takes in modern day, our time, in like suburbia Tokyo. I think this looks cool, man. This is coming out in 10 days.
I know. I'm not going to be finished fucking Elden Ring in 10 days, dude.
There's no way, man.
Dude, I am almost at 90 hours.
Whoa,
dude! And I have probably unlocked half the map, I reckon.
Yeah,
legit.
I'm at 45 and I've only done two main bosses. No, hang on. Sorry, four main bosses.
Dude, I've done three main bosses and I'm at 85 hours or something. It's unbelievable. The game is huge. I don't know how I'm going to have any time to do anything else other than Elden Ring for the next month, but I'm trying to pump it out because, dude, I know we're off topic here. We're talking.
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting back on topic. But all I can think about is Elden Ring. Anyways, we've got to talk more about this. Basically, you're kind of running around and doing cool shit in this Ghostwire game.
Quick look at this trailer, Cap. There is some real spooky horror elements in this year game, like supernatural spooks. Yeah.
And it looks like you're kind of running around Tokyo, and it's like a Japanese Ghostbuster kind of thing, but way cooler. Man. Yeah, I actually, when I saw the trailer for this, I was super intrigued, just because of the animations and just the cool shit your character was doing with like sorcery and stuff. And then just like the first person, it's almost like, you know, Skyrim, where you're doing, you're running around with your hands out in front of you in first person, and you kind of see your character building fireballs and shooting them and stuff. Yeah. It's kind of like that, which I think Bethesda might make this game. So,
Okay, there you go, mate. I do quite like that. It's quite a unique one, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
Seeing your hands cast. And in Skyrim, I think is that you can have like two. Well, maybe this is modded, but you could have two spells and like, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that was legit. That was the vanilla game.
Very cool.
You could like have two healing spells to do a bigger heal and stuff like that. So, but yeah, so Ghostwire Tokyo looks very freaking cool. Moving along, we've got a Final Fantasy Stranger of Paradise demo available, Grizzo. Now, this is the what they're slating to be kind of like an origin story for the Final Fantasy series. So it kind of, okay. I believe, now I might be wrong here, I'm sorry if I am, but I'm pretty sure the whole idea is that it takes place around about the time of Final Fantasy One, and it follows the characters that kind of in that. One of the main nemesis of that particular game was Chaos, and that's why when you see those trailers, old mate is running around saying, "I need to kill Chaos, Chaos," and that's where all the fucking memes and shit come from. But it's basically, it's from what I understand, it's a like a Souls like,
dude. It looks like it. I'm just looking at it now. Hot yeah. Dang!
So that is it looks cool. Pretty freaking cool. So I mean, I don't really know what else I can really say about this. I do want to give it a crack. I wouldn't mind giving the demo a crack and then maybe coming back to the potty just to talk more about it.
So demo is available for free, Cap? Can you just go pick it up on
yes.
the PS5 and give it a whirl?
Yeah, I think you can. And your progress will carry over from the demo into the game when it releases however long. I think it's coming out soon, TM.
Yeah, it does say
it launches March, on the 18th of March. Wait, that's fucking this week. This week.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so again, another game I won't be able to play because of Elden Ring just literally sucking the life out of my life. But yeah, there you go. Now, I believe, there's another game coming out for PlayStation called Forspoken. It's kind of the game's like a woman. She gets pulled into like this fantasy world and she suddenly has all these powers and stuff and she's trying to grapple with this kind of, you know, having been pulled out of the real world into this fantasy world and fighting enemies. And I think it's third person. You kind of do sorcery and stuff like that. It looks quite beautiful. A lot of the screenshots I've seen, it look pretty good, but I believe it's been delayed.
October 11th. Cap, this is insane though, right? Because I feel like last year we didn't get many PS5 exclusives and I feel like you were literally peppering me with them right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, exciting. Are these all exclusive? I don't know which ones are exclusive. I think a lot of these might be on the Xbox as well.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure Xbox owns... No, hang on. Who owns Bethesda now? Now I'm freaking confused. I think it's... Where am I? What day is it? Who owns Bethesda? I can't remember if it's Microsoft or Sony. It's one of them. Microsoft is the parent. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, new Ghostwire Tokyo is made by Bethesda, but it's coming out on PlayStation. Yeah. Okay. So, aren't all exclusive. But Forspoken is definitely
awesome, man.
Yeah.
Just watching the trailer, this looks really cool.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see whether it sticks the landing. Obviously, a new IP is always difficult.
It is also open world. And I feel like for some reason, this game that's just come out, Cap, I don't know if you've heard about it, Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Has kind of...
Is it good?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like it's paved the way for open world games moving forward.
Well, do you know what? I would be shitting my pants if I was the developer of an open world game after Elden Ring's been released, because I would know that everyone's going to be comparing my game to that game when it gets released.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just don't think people are going to settle for like mediocre open world games anymore after this.
Cap, do you feel bad for Horizon, mate? Once again, releasing.
Do you know what? I I don't.
You don't.
I still think it's a really good game, and I think they've done a really good job of populating that world, that open world, with decent content. It's just, dude, it's just unfortunate that they released in a release window for Horizon Zero Dawn, Breath of the Wild, and then they've done this with Elden Ring. It is just super unfortunate, but what do you do? Like, it was interesting.
Fire the release team and get them to release on a better date, mate. I'm being a dick. Look, I mean,
you know what's interesting though?
It could have been better than Elden Ring, and then it would have overshadowed Elden Ring, and Elden Ring would be in its shadow. But
yeah, well, it was interesting. I'm pretty sure now. Again, I hope I'm not talking at my ass here. I know for a fact though that this did happen. I just can't remember exactly who was involved. But it happened on a social media platform. I can't remember whether it was Discord or Twitter. Basically, these devs from a few different development studios were shit talking Elden Ring because they're like, look at this shit game. No fucking UI elements. The map's really shit. Blah 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 blah. And it was just like, you guys are so salty. And one of the devs might have been from Guerrilla, who developed Horizon Zero Dawn.
And Ubisoft was in there as well, as one of the other comments.
Yeah. It's just like, dude, you know, okay, Elden Ring might have kind of like sort of distilled a lot of the elements that are like people expect in these big open world games with UI elements and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, look at what it's done to the gaming ecosystem. People going fucking nuts for this game. and you might shit talk it, but hey, it clearly worked. So what are you guys doing wrong?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how Forspoken goes. It looks really cool. I think a lot of the art looks really nice, but whether it sticks the landing, we'll find out. Again, like I said, it's always really difficult to pump a new IP. So good luck to them.
I will say the combat that I can see so far in Forspoken, it seems to be a lot of aerial moves, a lot of your play being up in the air and casting spells and avoiding spells. It looks quite unique to me, so maybe it'll be quite cool.
Looks good. So there you go. Moving along, we've got Gundam Evolution, free-to-play FPS action, PS5, PS4, 2020.
There you go.
You heard of Gundam before, Grizzo? Gundam. Okay.
Damn, goddamn style. Is that the theme song or what?
That's the one, yeah. But Chris, what the hell, mate? Come on. No, so Gundam is an anime. Well, I believe it's based off an anime. I don't think the game's came out first, but I'm pretty sure it was an anime first. It's basically just like mech robots with guns and other shit. I'm not super knowledgeable on the Gundam stuff, but... It's another mech game, essentially. I believe this is going to be kind of like... Okay, so let's have a bit of a look at it. It has 6v6 objective-based combat. New FPS. There you go.
So FPS market's pretty hot right now, Cap, with Valorant. And, well, maybe there is room, because I feel like old Blizzard taking their time with Overwatch 2 has disappointed a lot of people. Everyone's getting a bit sad.
Well, they did release a developer thing recently with Overwatch 2 saying, hey, it's happening and there's a beta coming out soon, I swear, I promise. Like, so please be ready for it.
Just wait for it. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe there is room for something like this, Grizz. Two main concepts we wanted to blend into a new Gundam game. Fast and immersive mobile suit team battles meets the ability for any mobile suit to clinch victory using their unique set of attributes, abilities, and boost tactics. So I guess they're going for just like a 6v6 combat thing, but like obviously give you those hero moments where you can potentially have a clutch moment where you defeat all the other mechs and be the man.
Does the mech thing pull you in or
look, honestly, not really. I've never really been a big mech person. Even like my anime tastes are very devoid of mechs. The only one I really got into that had mechs in it was Gurren Lagann, which is fucking excellent, by the way. You should watch it. It's very good.
Scroll down the very bottom of that post, right? Like the one with the mechs. There's a picture of a couple of mechs there.
Yeah.
Those, to me, do not excite me at all. I don't know what it
they're
is.
They're very anime mech kind of Gundam. I mean, they are classic Gundam mechs. Absolutely classic Gundam mechs. Yep, absolutely. Mm. I think the second one looks pretty cool, but he's like a big beefcake with a weird grapple hook. But also, Grizzo, guess who's freaking back? Featuring the Gundam Evolution main theme, remixed by world-renowned DJ and Gundam fan Steve Aoki.
Oh, Steve yeah. Aoki is freaking sick, though. That's pretty cool.
Mad Dog. That's actually pretty rad. But yeah, so if you're interested in Gundam, go and check it out. I think the screenshots look interesting. Whether it can compete in a very overcrowded market, time shall tell, my friend. So there you go. All right, moving along. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection. So what is this? There's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's just all the old classics, mate. It's just all the old classics rolled up into one. Dude, the only one that I've played out of all these is the Super Nintendo one, but that was freaking rad, dude.
Dude, they look pretty cool. So I guess it's got Ninja Turtles 2. Hang on, what do we got? Oh, it's all the Nintendo. Hang on. The Japanese versions, of course, the arcade games. We're bringing all 13 console and arcade games.
Oh my God.
To PS4 and PS5.
The best thing about them, I feel like this is the first good co-op beat 'em up that I played. Or maybe Final Fight, maybe some of those original ones.
But I actually remember playing this on an arcade machine somewhere.
Yeah.
Back in the olden days.
Very good.
Back when I was but a child. So there you go. If you're keen on playing all 13 of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games, good luck.
Which turtle were you, Cap? Which turtle were you, dude, mate? Just curious.
Probably, who was the blue one? Is that Michelangelo?
I think so.
No.
Leonardo.
I was Leonardo, dude. I'm freaking Leo. Leo. Yeah, that was me. But yeah, so if you're excited for that, freaking strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a shell of a time. Let's go. All right, moving along. Gigabash brings multiplayer Monsters of Mayhem to PS4 and PS5 this year. Gigabash, it just looks like a mobile game.
No, it's PS5. Dude, no, this looks like, oh my God, man.
Oh,
dude,
this is
fucking Rampage.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Rampage, I was just going to say, dude. It looks like Rampage. So for those of you who aren't like a million years old, Rampage was like this game that was like you'd be like running around a city and you're like a Godzilla monster and you're like attacking buildings and army people trying to shoot you and shit. And I think this is it's basically a Godzilla battle game, but I think you fight other players, Grizz.
It's a battle royale. Yeah.
It's a battle royale.
I like
that. But you're like a Godzilla monster and you're having a little battle with your friend. And I think it's 2v2 by the looks of things. So there you go.
Giga size destruction. You gain giga energy that allows you to transform into supersized versions of yourself called an S class. Dang. Ooh.
Damn. Some of the monsters look fucking lame as shit. In fact, I would say most of the monsters do, to be honest. Someone fire the freaking character design person. Sorry, that's a bit of a prick thing to say, but still, it looks like shit.
I was going to say that about the last game, but I was deciding to be nice. And you just fucking throw it out here, Capo. Jesus.
Sorry, Gigabash. Well, anyways, there you go.
Yeah, look, I can see
it looks pretty average. That. Now, Grizz, this is one that I'm pretty excited for. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. You ever heard of this before?
Never, mate. Give it to
me. It's a fucking awesome. It's a manga. Has a bunch of the manga runs out on anime now. Dude, this is such a fucking good anime. It's one of my favorite animes of all time. And this is basically like a fighting game with all the main characters that are in the different manga anime runs. And they're adding new characters, I believe. 50 playable characters from all arcs, which is fucking radical. Dude, 50 playable characters is nuts. And it's basically like a remake of the old
beat 'em up, mate. Bit of button bash beat 'em up. I like that.
Yeah. This looks seriously freaking cool. But it's kind of like the 1v1 kind of Tekken style battles, I suppose, but in the JoJo universe.
Yeah. Has kind of the comic art style kind of stuff going on a bit too there, doesn't it?
Yeah, which I guess is kind of reminiscent of the fact that it's a manga, right, and anime, so which is pretty cool. So they kind of, I don't know, kind of got that it's sort of semi-cell shaded. It looks really freaking rad. So very keen to give that a crack. Love that anime big time. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It is awesome. It is fucking awesome. The first season is a little bit, yeah, it's okay. It's fine. It's literally fine. It's okay.
And dude, then I don't know how you find time to watch this stuff, Cap. How?
I've already watched it, dude. Also, I don't have kids yet. So, okay, yeah, you know, you do. So you could probably watch this with the kids, I suppose. Probably not. Actually, probably don't do that.
I did watch Adventure Time with them, and that was pretty. They enjoyed that. That's good. Good show.
Yeah, you could probably watch this. Just get like the Funimation version, and where they say the blood's jam, and everyone instead of smoking cigarettes, they've just got lollipops in their mouths.
Those fag lollies. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right. All right. So moving along, Battle Through Hell and Back in Trek to Yomi. I don't know what this actually means. Oh, this has kind of got that. Okay, so it looks like it's another Japanese-style game. It's
all in grayscale, man. But the combat looks really, really interesting in this.
Yeah. So I think what they're trying to do here is make it look like a lot of those old Japanese films that were like the old samurai films. Now, there's a particular Japanese director who's very well known for this style of film and that kind of like black and white, brooding kind of, you know, visuals. And yeah. I think they're kind of going for that. Looks like it might be side-scrolling by the looks of things, but looks very cool. 3D kind of side-scroller kind of thing, black and white. Looks like you're probably fighting. It looks like it's a 2.5D kind of adventure, if that kind of helps you.
So it says it's built off two essential pillars: historical Japan and Shinto mythology. So I don't know if that's anything to you, Cap, but
yeah, I mean Shinto is the Japanese kind of faith system. Mm. And so Shinto mythology will be like a lot of ghosts and spirits and stuff like that. Cool. So kind of similar to Neo, I would think, because a lot of the enemies from Neo is kind of based off Japanese Shinto mythology. So there you freaking go, another really cool looking thing. So it's called Trek to Yomi. Hmm. Yeah, very Japanese, very cool, very noir. I like it. So there we go. Moving along. Now, Grizzo, that I know you are so excited for.
I am fucking excited. This is my Returnal game of the year.
Eternal Ascension update adds co-op. Yep. Oh, dude, co-op?
Yes.
Dude, you and me, baby. Let's go. I never finished it. Maybe we should finish it together.
Oh, mate, I'd be so keen. I would be so keen. Yep. Yeah, so they've added, they've added two game modes in here, Caps, the co-op one, and then a never-ending tower, the Tower of Sisyphus. Is that how you say it, Cap?
I think it's Sisyphus.
Syphilis. Syphilis.
The Tower of Syphilis. Yeah. Yeah, Grizz will be in there quick smart. Yeah, buddy.
So this is cool, man.
So give me a bit of a rundown, mate. What are they adding? What are they doing?
All right. So this is free content, which gets me even more excited. There is new content in terms of this Tower of Sisyphus, I think is what it is, unless I've written it wrong. Essentially, it's like a never-ending mode, so an endless mode to the game. As you ascend the tower higher and higher, there's more rewards, better rewards, but stronger monsters. So you work your way up the tower. So that is freaking cool, man, because there's also a leaderboard system built into it, Cap. So, you know, you get the highest on the tower and then you go on a leaderboard and there's weekly leaderboards and stuff like that. So it should be pretty cool, man. I'm pretty excited.
They kind of have that already, don't they, Grizz, with leaderboards and stuff with runs?
They do. It's a scored leaderboard on your runs. So essentially this is probably adding an endless mode so there's no bookend, and it's also, I believe, Cap, it's also going to be procedurally generated. So the areas are already procedurally generated, but maybe this will also randomize the biomes plus maybe some extra stuff. So
very cool.
Kind of cool.
I wonder if there'll be any story elements in the tower, Grizzo.
I don't know. I hope so. Well, apparently there's some new items and weapons and stuff coming in as well, so it wouldn't surprise me. They were very smart with the way they did the story in the first one, through finding items and then using items to be able to unlock and progress further areas. It was kind of like a Metroidvania in that respect. So I hope so, man. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, it says here there is also an entirely new narrative content to be explored in the tower as well. I won't spoil anything here, but players will get another small glimpse into Celine's haunting past and gain further insight into her state of mind. Damn. Can't be that fucking great, I'd imagine, being stuck on an alien planet.
In the loop. But I tell you what, Cap, this whole thing to introduce co-op was not something that I expected from this game. So this was what I expected, just to be one of those cookie cutter, fantastic PS5, single player, story-driven narrative games that's what it sells itself for. So I think this is pretty awesome, man. I would definitely be keen to play this with you, Cap, if you were.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I think this, because I was pretty sad that I never finished it. I can't remember why. I think maybe Resident Evil or something came out and I kind of just pivoted to that because that's just how I do things. So I was kind of
grab you like the Elden Ring.
Look, I really enjoyed Returnal. Don't get me wrong. I really like the aesthetic, but it was just one of those things. I just never went back to it because, you know, once you start a game and then you don't play it for a while and then you come back and you're kind of like, oh, how the fuck do I play this game again? Or what does that do? And
dude,
it gets harder as you get older as well.
That's kind of how I feel like with God of War right now. So I think I told you I was replaying it, but I got 3/4 way through it. And then Elden Ring came out. And the other day I just fired it up just because I was just wanted to have a little go. And I've forgotten how to do all the combos and stuff that I had. And I was just like, oh, man.
And God of War gets quite difficult towards the end as well. And you kind of need those combos and stuff to like maintain your momentum through the game and approach certain enemies. So when you don't have that as muscle memory, it's going to be a slog, dude. Absolutely. Tell you what, though, man. God of War, ripper game. Very good.
Absolute ripper. Storytelling, best of them, isn't it, Cap?
Oh, absolutely, mate. Yeah, it's so good. Very excited for the next one. But yeah, so Grizz, definitely keen to give a co-op run of Returnal, man. I think we should definitely lock that in.
Yeah. When we're done with Elden Ring.
Yeah. We'll do that. So probably, what, July, maybe lock that in?
Next year, yeah.
All right, so next we've got the Dio Field Chronicle, PS5 and PS4, which is another Square Enix JRPG coming out, which features a real-time tactical battle system. And looks like it's a brand new IP kind of or RPG from them, so it doesn't sort of leverage any of the Final Fantasy or is Octopath Traveler another one by them a couple other bits and pieces. But the combat looks really fucking cool, Grizz. Like, it's very, everyone's kind of positioned in certain areas on a little battlefield. And everyone's in 3D and you know, they do like really cool moves, big like flame attacks and stuff. It looks really, really cool. Real-time tactical battle. So it's real-time, but it's also tactical, which is kind of like, I guess, turn-based in a way, but also it's real-time. So it's kind of a blend of both somehow.
Yeah, just kind of watching like quite a slowed-down animation of like a character running towards other characters, and he was just selecting abilities as he was running. So it's kind of, it seems quite interesting. A bit of a mixture
Like you control a band of elite mercenaries. They all seem to kind of, represent a part of, you know, one's a strength guy, one's a thinker, another one's a magic user, and the other one's another thinker or something.
Iscarian.
Walter Quinn and Andreas. the Blue Fox Company. It actually looks pretty cool. I wouldn't mind giving that a crack on the Switch if it's coming out on the Switch, I'll play it. Yep. But if I don't know if I play this on the PS5. It just looks like a game I'd play on the Switch, in all honesty. Just like that top-down kind of battle system. Seems like it would be perfect for sitting in bed playing it.
Absolutely perfect. And probably on the Sony exclusive handheld, eh, Cap?
Surely that's okay. If that comes out, dude, I swear to God, we're gonna fucking clip us saying that in the previous episode. Be like, we fucking told you.
If you are listening at home, for some like, what do you reckon, Cap? Maybe 5 or 6 things now that we've mentioned in previous episodes have come to light. Yeah. Somehow,
we'd be like, oh, there it is.
There it is. If a Sony handheld comes out, dude, I will fucking lose my mind.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely lose my mind as well. So, yeah, Deerfield looks pretty interesting. Definitely, if you're into JRPGs, go and check out a trailer because looks pretty sexy. And the final entry on the State of Play board is the Valkyrie series is back. Valkyrie Elysium. So brand new game coming to PS5 and PS4. I've never played these games before. I believe they're... Oh, man. I actually have no idea what the fuck these games are. I've always seen them floating around in, like, EB Games and stuff like that, and I've never really known what they are. They kind of looked like a war game when I last saw them, but... This looks very different. This
looks like a very one. Yeah, and kind of like an action RPG. Oh, that's what it says. Action RPG. Yo, yeah, action RPG, yeah. Like real-time combat.
Fast new paced combat system that combines strategy, action, and unique combo system that tests your ability to think and react.
Dude,
that sounds like Dark Souls.
It does sound like Dark Souls. It screams the from what I can see, the artwork and the way that things are drawn and animated or whatever it might be, screams Final Fantasy to me, Cap.
Yeah, it does look pretty Final Fantasy, actually. It looks quite different to the previous Valkyrie games that I am remembering. Valkyrie. Chronicles, I think it was. It was the earlier game. Valkyrie Chronicles. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Valkyria. Okay, that's a different game. yeah, don't worry. Looks good.
Looks good, man.
Looks real good.
I actually think I might have seen Erkbar play this on stream.
Really?
Wait. Is this a new IP, Cap? Or is this... Is he playing something?
Oh, here we go. Valkyrie Profile.
Yeah.
Okay, there was an old game called Valkyrie Profile, which came out 23 years ago. Hello? Jesus Christ, that's a freaking long time in between games. Hang on, let me just get this bad boy up. There's a fair few of these games. So Valkyrie Profile came out on PlayStation 1. Valkyrie Profile 2 came out on PlayStation 2. And I think that's about it. I think there's two games, 1 and 2. So the last game was on PlayStation 2, dude. Oh, hang on. Yeah, no, I'm wrong. Am I wrong? No, there was a Valkyrie Anatomia, the origin. Look, I don't fucking know anything about these games, clearly, so don't listen to me. Go and do your own research.
So, Capo, out of the whole list of releases coming out, State of Play, what are you most excited for on there, mate?
Honestly, probably... I think a few different ones for a few different reasons. I think Ghostwire Tokyo looks... nuts, really cool. Really keen to give that a crack.
Yeah, dude, Ghostwire Tokyo looks freaking awesome, man.
Yeah,
very. Also, rad. That looks to be only PS5 as well. So I quite like when I see a game that's not coming to PS4, just coming to PS5. Oh, okay,
yeah. So it's going to be maybe a next gen exclusive.
Yeah. So the next
gen, which means that the cool thing about that is, and I mean, it sucks for everyone who's got a PS4, and I do. I feel for you. Okay, I feel for you. Because you're not going to get to play this game if that's the case. But if they only do it for next gen, then they only they've got more time to make it look better on next gen consoles, right? So, it's good. I think the Final Fantasy, Dark Souls, Stranger of Paradise. I'm pretty keen to give that a crack. And JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, just super keen for that because I love that anime so much, and also really keen to give Returnal another crack with you.
Yep, cool.
Grizz, you.
Yep.
Go.
My one is the exact same as yours, but the only other one that I might pick up for fun times with friends and couch co-op is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Keen as freaking mustard. All right, we better move along, Grizz. We're getting the freaking boot up the ass from Pav because we've done two points in almost 50 minutes, and we've still got a few more to go. Look, I think we're just going to go straight into it. Dead Space. You ever played Dead Space before, Grizz?
No, but I've heard you talk about it a number of times, Cap.
Dead Space would have to easily be in my favorite games of all time. I think they mastered the space horror genre in a way that made me wish there was more space horror media, and there just fucking isn't, dude. I'm telling you right now, there's no really good space horror media apart from, you know, the classics like Alien, stuff like that. There's not an awful lot of books, for example, that are really good space horrors. And if you're listening to this podcast and you know of one that you think I should read, fucking slam it in the comments.
Space horror, baby.
Slap that shit down.
When you say space horror, are you talking like your horror? What do you mean by space?
It's space.
Are you in like an aircraft or are you like...
Yeah, so you're in the future. You basically... So the premise of this game... So look, Dead Space, the original game, came out in freaking 2000 and what, like 10 or some shit? I don't know. Something like that, 2011. So basically, the game takes place on this mining ship that's mining asteroids and all kinds of stuff. And basically, this ship goes dark and no one knows what's happened to it. A ship nearby, I think, comes and finds a distress beacon and they go on board. You play this guy called Isaac, who's like an engineer technician guy, and he basically has this really cool suit that he wears, which has like all these armor pads and stuff on it to do his engineer things, because that's just what engineers do apparently in space. So he has all these cool tools like cutters and bits and pieces, and they get onto the ship and they realize that everyone's turned into necromorphs, which are like these zombie alien things. And so you've got to the whole gimmick of the game is shooting limbs off things with your laser cutters.
You're using your engineering equipment to like wreck people.
Very cool, dude. It's an exceptionally good game. And I remember playing that game back in the day and just utter freaking terror.
So Cap, will this be a next gen release and PC?
Yes. Full remake. So I would assume that means it's coming to PC. Again, if we're wrong. Oh no, hang on. New Dead Space is going to PS5, Windows PC, and Xbox Series X. So no last gen, Grizz. They're doing a full remake, dude. So ground up to the point where when you see the stuff that they're showing off at the moment, it's very, very early development stuff. So they've done a lot of they've recreated Isaac, and so you can see him walking around. But a lot of the places that he's walking around with are just like blue squares and stuff, because they haven't made the textures and stuff for levels and blah, 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 blah. But basically they did a live stream event recently, which is why I'm talking about this.
Right. Deb's just mentioned Event Horizon's Cap, which is one of my favorite horror films all time.
Event Horizon was very good as well. Sam Neill was in that, wasn't he?
I think so, Sam creepy. Neill. Hey, Cap, this is EA, is that correct? Is this EA?
Yes, it is, unfortunately. And I think that's why we never had follow-up games after Dead Space 3, because EA was like, oh, people don't want single-player games, mate.
I do want to say, didn't EA do Fallen Order? Which I think was a little bit redeeming for them, which is the Jedi.
Oh, they did. Hang on.
Was that EA? Right.
Sorry.
Dude, that was actually surprisingly fantastic.
But I would say EA didn't do it. It was the guys who made Titanfall. by EA.
There you go. Well, who's
EA bought someone who did it?
Did they? Okay, yep. The old acquisition, mate.
So the guys who make what's that battle royale? The one I'm thinking of, Apex Legends.
Apex Legends, yep. Yeah.
So yeah, look, Dead Space, the remake's coming. They released a release window for this early 2023, which is exciting. I'm super excited about it. They basically spoke a bit about the ALIVE system, which stands for Adrenaline Limbic System Response, Intelligent Dialogue, Vitals, and Exertions. what is that? No idea. So it's basically like audio and other bits and pieces that all come together to create like a better atmosphere for the game. One example of this is like your main character, depending on how fatigued or injured and stuff he is, he'll say his dialogue differently, for example. You'll get more of an idea. Yeah, very cool. So, things like him breathing in game, like you'll notice he's labored breathing if he's hurt. And, you know, kind of shit that's already been in video games.
I heard there were some funny things with Horizon, the new Horizon around that, eh, Cap? Like, you're in this fucking crazy fight and you're getting clamped from every direction, and then she goes and picks an item up and goes, oh, this is going straight to my stash. And just like, you're not suiting like the actual part of the game. But.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just like gaming though, right? There's certain aspects of gaming that you just completely detach from being realistic, and you just like, in your brain, you know, yes, I know that my character wouldn't be super stoked right now because she's literally being smacked from every angle by this giant T-Rex machine. She's probably not going to be that super keen on this little piece of glass she found on the floor. But it's just one of those things. But so Dead Space, Grizz, you definitely got to give that a crack. I mean, I know you get into your horror games here and there. So
I honestly think that this will be my entry into the franchise. This one, yep, keen.
Yep, very very cool, Grizz. All right, so moving along, GMG Union have a huge win now. The GMG Union were on basically a union that worked on behalf of journalists and media sort of creators for outlets such as Kotaku and Gizmodo, et cetera. So basically the employees there basically were sort of fighting for better rights and stuff at work and bits and pieces. I know it got quite nasty at one point where I think Kotaku US was basically taking content made by the AU team and posting it there because the US people were on strike, which is super garbo.
Yeah.
But anyways, look, this obviously all came to light because they were fighting for better rights and better pay and all that kind of stuff, because obviously they're getting treated like shit.
Yeah.
And I think from what I understand, the parent company, whose name just isn't ringing a bell, I'm just going to see if I can find
Gizmodo?
This. GO Media is the parent company of these.
Yeah.
So, look, basically, long story short, the union won on behalf of their members. What they won: higher salary minimums for all positions, guaranteed 3% annual raises for unit members, 15 weeks parental leave, 12 weeks minimum severance, maintained our current cost sharing cap for healthcare, a bunch of other random shit. Actually, one really cool thing here is trans inclusive healthcare, which I think is awesome.
Hell
very
yeah,
inclusive.
Dude. Yeah,
very, very fucking awesome. So that's very cool. Defeated management's proposal to give up bargaining rights over changes of healthcare mid-contract, which is just so garbo. 45K diversity effort budget with audit and transparency. Goal of 40% of candidates at the hiring manager interview for underrepresented backgrounds, which is really cool. Retained right to speak publicly about working conditions, etc. Basically, look, they had a huge win. Like, this is pretty nuts for a union to win this much stuff, bargaining wise, with a parent company. So, man, super cool. It's quite interesting. There's been a lot of issues. Like, I know Activision had a lot of issues with unions stepping in after all the shit that went down with the sexual allegations. I don't really know what's going on with that, but I know they didn't want any unions to come in. A lot of big corps in the US seem to be very anti-union. It's a little bit different here in Australia because a lot of unions exist here.
Dude, big corps don't like unions because unions are a big conglomerate of people that can push for change well beyond what a large corporation
and
is.
And change that helps the people that work for those big corporations, which doesn't help the big corporations. Yeah.
But
this
is interesting.
It's good to see a win.
This is interesting because I feel like work conditions in general of things like gaming studios and is being really public in the media over the last couple of years. I swear, man, we weren't, maybe me and you were more, you know, we're a bit more researched and take a bit more notice of this stuff now since we've been doing OGR and other bits and pieces. But I swear we didn't hear about all this shit that happened pre now around working conditions and everything else. So these kind of stories where you see, you know, unions bumping minimum salary for people that are busting their ass and in my mind, Cap, working a very high-skilled job, this kind of stuff. You know, game dev and...
Well, this isn't game dev. These guys are journos, but still a high-skilled job.
Still a high-skilled job. And earning, what, minimum wage? 55 grand a year?
Yeah.
Like,
so, pretty tough, dude. Like, so, yeah, it's good to see that these guys have had a really good win. in an industry that, you know, should do better. I think all industries should do better.
So when is OGR getting a union? And we're not getting paid at all, actually. Fuck.
Well, I think...
come on, mate.
Yeah. What the fuck's going on here, mate? Where's my 15 weeks just leave in general?
Maternity leave. You can absolutely have that. It's unpaid leave, though, however.
Whoa, okay. All right, I see what's going here. Undervalued, clearly. But yeah, so there you go. GMG have a huge union win, which is fucking radical. Now, moving along, Grizzly Gaming 86.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I don't know, rock and roll with this one, mate. Oh, yeah. I don't really know an awful lot about this.
All right. Well, hit me with your rhythm. You know, I love my drama, especially like anything that's like Twitch drama.
You're such a gossip.
Stuff that comes out, like when people get cancelled on Twitch and Twitter and things like that. So I would say that if you are in the Twitcherverse, you will have heard about this story. Yeah. This is essentially regarding a company called Artisan Builds, Cap. This particular company essentially is a custom PC building company. You can basically go and order a custom PC with the specs you want, and they will apply a markup. They'll build it for you and send it to you. What's interesting about this particular company is Artisan Builds were extremely embedded into popular Twitch streamers. So people like Nick Merckx, Asmongold, a couple of other large orgs like One True King, OTK, had all Amaranth, all supported this company as being a good company to work with, essentially. And they would have a code on their Twitch page that if you clicked on it and you bought your custom PC, you know, you obviously the streamer benefits. So that's the kind of way that relationship worked. It was like a, what do you call it? It's like a referral code kind of thing for it.
Yep.
Now, on the 1st of March, Artisan Builds were holding a stream from their Twitch channel whereby they were going to give away one custom PC to anyone as part of their affiliation program that was on their affiliation program. This particular Twitch channel got pulled out of the hat. Her name was... Kiapia, I believe, and the CEO of Artisan Builds basically dressed her Twitch channel down in front of the audience of thousands of people, just said like, oh, she hasn't got many followers, or she was only active once last week. Oh, look at that. No one has clicked on her referral link ever. Oh, no, this is not a good candidate for this giveaway. Even though the giveaway was offered to anyone that was part of their affiliate program. And so... Yeah, so it was just like a real scummy thing to do. And the way that he did it, like, was just not just inclusive.
Especially live as well. Like, that's just shit.
Yeah, that's it wasn't a good look. And, like, so this clip got posted to Twitter and basically all these quite large personalities like Nick Merckx and Asmongold and OTK released statements saying, oh, you know, look, we don't really want to work with a brand that's not supporting all of their creators, large and small. And, you know, don't agree with the decisions that were made, and kind of like since this kind of spiraled out of control, a few other things came out about Artisan Builds, like they haven't been paying their tax properly, and where this has all ended up down the road. So this is a statement from Artisan Builds. On March 5th, the company tweeted that a potential employee-led buyout of the company was happening, and then on March the 9th, Artisan Builds has come out and said that they will be halting all of its business practice indefinitely, and it is unclear whether the shuttering is related to the giveaway incident or whether it's from a tax evasion, but they are completely shutting shop.
Well, you'd assume that it was a sum of all things, right? And they've just probably dug a hole and started to find some things buried in the backyard, I'd say.
Well, what I want to get your opinion on here, Cap, is A, people cancelling companies over shitty practices like this. Do you think that this is a bit maybe over the top, or do you think this is deserved, or what's your thoughts, mate?
Well, I mean, look, it depends on what the actual issue is, right? Like, if the problem is, you know, like it's there's people that work at that company that didn't do the things that these idiots did, and you know, probably, well, I don't know that for sure. I would assume that they have workers that probably just work there for a wage, and now that means they're out of a job, which sucks. But I mean, if the company on large was not paying tax and doing some really dodgy shit, I mean, what do you do? It's illegal.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean,
how do you feel about it?
I feel, man, you can't, you, like, what some people don't realize is that everything you say on Twitch or on a live thing like this right now, you got to be so careful, man. And you just got to like not, you just got to not put other people down. And especially when streaming is such a,
you shouldn't do anyway, but
no, streaming in general, dude, like everyone's on their different growth. And I think if you market something as a giveaway that you're going to give away to people that support you, it doesn't matter what size you are, whether you're small or large. That's a pretty, pretty shady thing to then go, hey, yeah, look, your channel's shit. I'm not going to give it to you. That's kind of how I took it. So, oh,
absolutely.
I think they deserve a slap in the wrist, but I don't know if the reaction to completely halt the company is. I don't. Maybe that's the tax thing. I don't know. But
well, I would think. Look, cancel culture is pretty full on. And I mean, you might agree with it, you might not agree with it. I think when people are doing some shitty things, they definitely need to be held accountable to some degree. But yeah, I mean, in this particular instance, if they've done something super dodgy and they've had to cease. Because I don't know, maybe they've got lawyers on their ass or something. Who knows? I mean, that's probably what's going down.
So, funny tidbit, Kat, extra information. She now has 28.8K followers on Twitch. She got given a brand new gaming PC from a competitor of from Artisan Builds.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And like her socials just completely skyrocketed, mate. So,
oh,
it's, you speaking- know what? Content creators standing up for other content creators when they see shady shit, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's definitely, I think, the silver lining of this story is just people being good people, which is nice to see. Actually, speaking of computers, Grizz, I'm probably looking at a new build end of this month. Brand new.
Hell yeah.
Brand spanking. Been putting my pennies away.
What are these specs we're talking here, Capo?
I'm thinking an i9. 3080, maybe a Ti, we'll see. Probably not worth the extra 5 or 6 frames I'll get from the Ti, to be quite honest, for the money, but we'll see. Probably 64 gigs of RAM.
Oh my God.
NVMe, you know, all the fruit, basically. The fruit, you know, mate. This is probably going to be, you know, my last PC for a while. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to go all in, my friend. But, yeah, so there you go. But look, Grizzle, that pretty much finalizes the sort of big topics we had to go now.
Mate, is it time for quick fire or what?
It's time for our quick fire round of quick fire news, ladies and gents. So first off the rank, God of War TV series is rumored, Grizzo. Mm. How's that make you feel?
Makes me feel like saying, I fucking told you so, Capo.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a perfect, like, a perfect thing that they could easily rework. I think, you know, they could do some really cool costume and stuff. The thing is I'm worried about is who the fuck is going to play these people, especially Kratos, man. Like, who is going to fucking play Kratos?
Is it going to be animated, Cap, or is it going to be active?
I think it's live action. I mean, again, look, this is all rumored, so who freaking knows? But it looks like the rumor says that it's going to be created by the guys who did The Expanse, which is a really, really awesome sort of space sci-fi TV series, which is really good, by the way. If you haven't watched it, go and check it out. But yeah, who knows?
Cap, I'm very excited because I honestly think my wife will enjoy this one. I think the God of War story, especially in the last one, mate, is just so well written and well delivered. And, you know, I rarely found myself engaging with the characters, especially that relationship between, you know, the old mate and his son was just, very, very well done. So looking forward to maybe
I think it was really natural as well, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, some of the things that happened between him and Atreyu, is it Atreus? Like legitimately tear-jerking moments.
Oh,
like,
mate,
it's just very emotive. And I mean, if they can manage to capture some of that and just like get some really good actors in there, oh, I am freaking excited, Grizzly. I am freaking excited. Now moving along, Dr. Disrespect. I didn't write a very good title for this one, so I just said, Dr. Disrespect says he's resolved his legal dispute with Twitch and is moving on. Grizz, what does that mean, do you think?
Well, I feel like it's always been a mystery, Cap, around what happened with Dr. Disrespect and Twitch. And I'm hoping that this resolution, because I, like I say, I do like the goss and the drama, that this is one step closer to actually knowing what happened. There was a heap of speculation, mate. You know, him cheating on his wife, and then he did that thing where he recorded in the toilet, and there was like a bunch of speculation around why Dr. Disrespect basically disappeared off Twitch and moved to YouTube. So I don't know. I think this is a step in towards maybe us knowing what happened there.
Yeah.
Which
Dude, do you want my hot take?
Give it to me. Okay.
I think Dr. Disrespect is a fucking turd of a human being. I think he's a giant turd. Even the way he's done this is he's like got this special little card with like a fountain pen, and he's written like in this special typewritten freaking like card. It's like, I have resolved my legal dispute with Twitch. No party admits to any wrongdoing, and then signed it with his fountain pen. I just think he's such a toss. He's a massive toss, and like get like, okay, he cheated on his wife. He recorded in the toilets. Like, it just does all this shit that I just think he's such a knob. I really do. So, frankly, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a shit, man.
So continue streaming on YouTube, Gaming Dr. Disrespect. Good luck to you, mate. Mm-hmm. All right, moving along. Moving along, pal. All right.
Quick fire round.
Yeah, I'm going to move to the last one first, Grizz, and then we can talk about the other ones.
All right, mate.
1 million counts banned in Lost Ark for botting.
Yes.
I bet it was all Barry.
It was all Barry. Barry had 1,000 accounts.
Yeah. Does Barry even play Lost Ark?
I don't know, man. He plays Minecraft.
But Barry's a mate.
Okay, when I wrote that, Cap, I was thinking that 1,000. Oh, no, it's a million accounts.
Did I say 1,000?
Yeah, I think. Did you? Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
I might have. I meant a million.
A million accounts. That's quite a lot of accounts then. Yeah.
That is a lot of accounts. And I wonder how they're detecting botting. Like, I mean, you can use software that detects whether people are kind of using like.
I'll never forget playing World of Warcraft. And I had a bot that would do phishing for me. And I'd be there fishing. And then I remember I walked away from my computer and I came back and there was a GM sitting next to me as I was fishing. and he whispered me saying, hey, mate, all good? Or like something like that. And I was just like, and I was lucky I was there because I was.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, mate. Yep, just catching fish. Oh, dude, that's so funny. Well, yeah, so, I mean, I think the Lost Ark hype might have simmered off a little bit. I think, you know, obviously it hit the ground running big time. People were frothing on it. I think it's an interesting game, but, yeah, I'm not surprised about this. I mean, obviously free-to-play games often have a really big issue with botting because it's, just, like, it's really difficult. I mean, if there's a buy-in, people, you know, it's a bit, you have less issue with botting, but as soon as it becomes free to play, it's pretty easy for people to bot, just make a burner account and farm shit, and then off they go.
But
So I'm sure that they're going to have this issue for quite some time. But yeah, so there you go. Moving along.
Dota 2 has done a good thing to kind of negate that. Well, kind of, because there was people botting for items, Cap, for a while there, but now you need like. So you need like minimum requirements to kind of have your account.
Yes.
Makes it a lot harder to do that kind of thing. So
They did a similar thing in Destiny 2. Now I can't remember the specifics of it, but I mean Destiny 2 is now free to play to some degree, but I think they've made elements of the PvP pay to play. Possibly. I might just be talking absolute shit there, but I'm pretty sure that's what they've done. So I think that was kind of a move to try and help. Like kind of reduce the hacking and shit that was going on in that game. Or maybe there was talks about them doing it. Oh, I feel like, something like that. Anyway, I don't know. Someone in the chat might be able to tell me if I'm talking shit. But, anyways, I'm all right, moving along.
Yes,
mate. Last coupler, and then we might have a quick Elden Ring. How you going? But so all the Elden Ring demigods have names. The first letter of all the names of the Elden Ring demigods initials of George R.R. Martin's initials.
Yes. So what that means is G.R. and M. All the bosses have G.R. and M. names. Whether this is coincidence or not, and we don't want to spoil the names. So the ones that you would know because you can talk to an NPC and they'll tell you them is Joffrey, Renala, Radagon, Marika. Wait, have I told you the ones that aren't? Oh, well, anyway, they're all GR and M, essentially. So,
yeah, what, Godric.
Godric,
Who was Margit at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, makes sense. Yep.
So, Cap, they say that this was the scope of George R. R. Martin's involvement in the game, mate. Did you know that?
He just named all the bosses after himself. Yeah. George R. R. Martin comes in, names all the bosses after himself and leaves.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. How much are we paying that guy again? Millions of dollars. Fucking hell.
Pretty good names, though.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving along. Elden Ring now has officially been completed hitless. Congratulations to Gino Machino.
I fucked that up. I'm sorry. I wrote that in there wrong. It wasn't actually him. He does have a hitless run, but the guy that actually got the world first, his name is Bushido, and he's a Spanish runner.
I have heard of Bushido.
Have you? There you go.
I have, absolutely. That's pretty big dick moves. I know that the first big speed runs are starting to come out now. I think the most recent one was Distortion 2 from memory, which was about 35 or 36 minutes or something. Complete the game, which I believe uses sequence breaks. Don't quote me. I haven't watched anything because I don't want to see spoilers. Cap,
what does a sequence break mean? Sorry.
So, like, for example, if you're playing a linear game and you're supposed to do 1, 2, and then 3 to finish the game, you could do a sequence break to go from 1 to 3 to finish the game.
Gotcha.
And skip to it.
Yeah.
So sequence breaks are kind of just, basically skipping content that you're intended to do. So I know that there's a lot of things that have popped into this game, and I actually noticed it accidentally when I was playing, is there's some bugs and glitches and stuff that you can sort of take advantage of in this game that come from earlier games. So one of the big bugs and glitches in Dark Souls that was originally found was if you parried this zombie on a staircase, you could put your character into like a death camera where the camera looks downwards on your character. And then your character becomes technically... like it removes its hitbox and you kind of go into like a, not a god mode, but like you basically don't have any collision. And so you can't walk through obstacles. Yeah. So what you would do is you would walk through one of the main gates that you can't get through at the beginning of the game, which is like into Sen's Fortress. You could just walk straight through there if you do this particular glitch. And then that was a massive sequence break.
Yeah.
They don't actually do it anymore in that speed run, but that particular bug is present in Elden Ring. So just goes to show you how deep these engines run between games.
Yeah. So I just want to say, Cap, the difficulty of a no-hit run is actually freaking insane. So that, those of you
in a game like Elden Ring, holy shit.
Yeah, Elden Ring. Like you pick that game up and you are like anything can hit you. So I had a bit of a quick look at Gino's run just very quickly. Mainly the start, so not spoiling for myself, but he is an app. It's just so interesting to watch because he's got this route picked out where he knows exactly what items that he needs to get and needs to get in out there. And there's certain, like, you know, dogs, Cap, for example.
Oh, like mongrels, literally mongrels.
Absolute mongrels. So he's got strategies for dogs, whether he's using fire bombs or whatever it is. And for you to be able to get a successful hitless run, you need to know where every enemy and every item for the route that you're picking is. So big pog champs to Gino Machino for pulling that off. Pretty
shaky pog cool. Champions in the chat. But yeah, very freaking cool. Well, Grizzo, that's the end of the quickfire round, and I think that might be the end of this podcast as well.
Done well, mate.
1 hour, 20 minutes. Not bad, not bad. If I do say so myself, told you we'd be okay, Pav.
The first two took three quarters.
Well, do you know what? I kind of thought that would be roughly how this episode would be structured because State of Play was going to be a massive one. But look, regardless, thank you so much for listening to the Oceanic Gaming Radio podcast. You can catch us on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and Patreon, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Just look up Oceanic Gaming Radio or OGR. Chuck us in Google. I'm sure you might find something if our SEO is looking pretty good. But as always, we stream live on Twitch on Monday nights from 7 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. And if you want to support us, you can jump on Patreon and flick us some freaking coin-a-roonies that will go towards paying for all the shit we gotta buy for subscriptions to services that get our podcasts out on the airways easier. The Riverside, which we use to record this podcast, and just other freaking shiznizzle, okay? But appreciate you being here. Grizz, you got anything you want to say?
Nah, mate, all good for me. Thank you so much, guys, for continually tuning in, though. Bloody really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really appreciate the support. We've noticed our stats on the Anchor FM have been going quite good. We really appreciate everyone listening to the podcast, either be it via Twitch or Spotify or something like that. But, yeah, please keep doing it. Tell your mates. Get your freaking mates involved. Tell your mum. She's going to love it. But till next time, thank you very much.
Bye for now.